Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5. And I am excited about tonight's message. I have been dying. I almost preached this Sunday night. I couldn't wait, but I held off. Matthew, chapter 5. We started a series several weeks ago on the topic of prayer. And let me just remind you of a few things. God made man to fellowship with him. God made man to talk to him. God made man to work. By the way, a man that is not working and a man that is not fellowshipping with God is not a complete nor happy man. You have troubles in big cities and you have troubles with people with unemployment and you wonder why they get discouraged. You wonder why they backslide. You wonder why they live like animals. I'll tell you why, because God made them to work. And it's just the way it goes. Prayer is a result of spending time with God and working. When you have questions, you need to ask the boss for more direction. And that's literally what prayer is. It's asking God for more direction. Tonight, I want to give you a lesson that will change your life. And I'll talk about it here in a moment, but I call this prayer that makes you love. Prayer that makes you love. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's start reading a verse 43. We'll read through the end of the passage here. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Look at me. Tonight, I want to elevate your Christianity. We're not going to be in the Pee Wee Leagues. We're not going to be in the Pop Warner Football Leagues. We're going straight to the Major Leagues tonight. Tonight, I'm not going to tell you something I think. And I do not say this with arrogance, but I will say this. You're looking at somebody that for the last 30 years has had to live this truth. I can't tell you that, matter of fact, I know I'm probably not the best Christian in the room. I don't have any doubt about that. There are people in this room that are probably far better Christians than I. But I've had the privilege of having to learn this truth for the last 30 years, 3 decades of my life. In no way am I exalting myself, but I want to show you how it changed my life. Why would God ask, why would God command us to love people who hate us? Why would God ask us to pray for people who slander and criticize us? Why would God tell us to bless people who curse us? Why does God tell us to do good to those that hate us? I don't know about you, but to this little pea brain up here, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I love people. I really do. I've spent all of my adult life learning to love all kinds of people. I don't know how to say, there are men in this room, you've spent your life in electricity. Well, working with, not actually in it. You've worked with, Brother Barnes is pretty close to living in it. You've spent your life in construction. You spent your life in building things. You spent your life in mechanics. You spent your life in an office or an industry of some sort. Many different professions, law enforcement and others. You've spent your life in computer work. You've spent your whole adult life doing one thing. I've had the privilege of spending my entire adult life learning how to love people. That's been my, I hate saying it this way, my occupation. You see, some people are easy to love. You know that nice people are real easy to love. You know that kind people are real easy to love. Do you know that decent people are easy to love? Those nasty people, mean people, rough people, hurtful people, that's a whole different ballgame. I play this little game and have for good night, I don't know how long, probably since I was in my late teens, early 20s. Everywhere I go, I try to cheer somebody up. It's a game of mine, especially at a store. You know, you go to Walmart or Target. Well, Brother Lowther doesn't get to go to Target. Where were you at this week, Brother Barnes? There's got to be something about Brother Lowther's class. Evan texted me this week. He knocked a whole shelf of beer off of a store this week and got it all over him. There's something about that class. And then I got York and Logue making apple stuff. I get this picture of this stuff in a bucket, and he said, if I wasn't working with apples, I wouldn't believe this. There's something about that agape class that's not quite right here. They're addicted to juice of some sort here, but it's just, I enjoy making people smile. I'll get up to the cashier. Did you ever get one of those cashiers that you were sorry you got in their line? You know, it's like, yeah, I always say, that bad today, huh? Or I'll do something. I was standing in line one day, my son says, I forget which one it was. He said, Dad, this one's going to be a challenge. I said, give me 10 seconds. He said, all right. He said, I'll count from the first word you say. I said, all right. I got up there. I said something. She growled back. And I said something totally off the wall. Don't even remember what I said. She stopped. She looked at me. And she said, he said, 7 seconds. She said, what? He said, never mind. I got the lady to laugh. Now, wait a minute. I enjoy making people's day go a little differently than they planned, in a positive direction. Most people love like pets. You know, as long as you're kind and you feed them and you do nice things for them, they come around and they're okay. But the moment you got to get hard on them, they're gone. Well, I hate to tell you something. You're not a puppy dog. You're not a kitty cat. God did not say you love somebody because they pat you on the head. God didn't say you love somebody because they feed you. Matter of fact, God said those that are mean, nasty, ugly, hate you, slander you, and curse you, you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to do good to those people. An animal has no spirit and an animal has no will, but we as Christians do. You say, but Brother Bush, it's not natural to love people who hate you. It's not natural to bless people that curse you. It's not natural to do good to those that hate you. And it's not natural to be kind to people that slander and criticize. I think I can help you tonight. And I'll be honest with you. The first point in my sermon tonight may be the most important thing I've said in the last 14 plus months pastoring. If you get this, it will transform your life. Point number one, God made man sinless in the beginning. So man, if he is saved, has the ability to love people that hate him. You realize that God made you in his image. When God created man, He created you with the ability to do exactly what he said. When you say it's not natural, that's not a true statement. It is not natural to our sinful flesh to do that. But it is natural to God to do that. It is not unnatural to the Spirit to love people that hate. Listen to this statement. Show me one place in the Bible where the Holy Spirit hates somebody. Woo-hoo. Can't hold on to that thing that way. Show me one place in the Bible where the Holy Spirit criticizes somebody. Show me one place in the Bible where the Holy Spirit refuses to do good to anybody. Did you get that? That means this. When you have the Holy Spirit controlling your life, you can love people that hate you. It is natural to the Holy Spirit to do those things. Everybody doing okay? Okay, take a breath. Okay, here we go. It is not natural to our sinful flesh. You are right. When somebody says something unkind, untrue, slanderous, attacking towards you, our flesh says, that's not right. I'm going to defend myself. But that's not what the Holy Spirit says. That's what your flesh says. But God did not make you to react that way. God made you to react by the Spirit of God. Our flesh, not our spirit, is the part of us that does not naturally love our enemy. Did you hear that? Our flesh, not our spirit, is that part of us that does not naturally love our enemy. When you live in fear, bitterness, anger, etc., of an enemy, you are not living by the Spirit. You are living by your flesh, and you're living just like your enemy. Do you realize when you live with that anger against someone who has said something about you, you're living just like your enemy? Oh, I can't believe what they said. I've got to... Wait a minute, you're living just like they are. Folks, when I put this ugly carcass down on my pillow in the next 3 or 4 hours, I will not think one time about what somebody said about me. Not one time. Say why? Because I don't care. They have to answer to God for it, not me. I'm going to let God take care of that. Well, somebody said something unkind about me, Brother Bush. And you don't think they have me? Y'all okay? Well, somebody did something mean to me. No. You're kidding. I have somebody that hates me. I've had people hate me for a long time. Folks, listen to this. Your flesh does not naturally love people that do that. But the Holy Spirit does. God made you to love people that hate, slander, criticize, despitefully use and persecute you in the fact that the Holy Spirit can love every one of those. The Holy Spirit has no problem loving anybody. Did you catch that? Okay, point number two. Everybody take a real deep breath. Okay, here we go. I'm going to unteach something that has been mistaught by a lot of preachers across America. Pray good things for your enemies. Pray good things for your criticizers. And pray good things for those that use you evilly. The Bible didn't say, pray for those that hate you so that they die. It is not wrong for you to ask God for them to stop their evil. But it is wrong for you to ask God to destroy the evil person. I've been through many evil situations. Often I find myself praying for people that they hate my insides violently. Matter of fact, many of them would like to see my insides on the outside. And I have people like that. Say, what do? I say, God, all right. I don't like this person personally, but I can love them. But you've got to stop their evil. I hope you bless their family. I hope they have a good day. I want you to give them those things, but please stop their evil. Don't hurt them, just stop their evil. When's the last time you asked God to give your enemy a good day? By the way, my Bible says, knowing that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. Maybe if they'd start getting goodness from you, they would change their ways. I'm going to make a statement here. And there's probably a dozen or more of you that have heard me make this to you one-on-one in private, if not more of you. Some people do not know that they are evil because they're told they're being spiritual. I know people that have done evil because evil people have led them to believe they're being spiritual by the evil they're doing. I believe that. Not everybody that does evil wears a red suit, has horns, and carries a pitchfork. There are people that literally are used to do evil that do not know they're being evil. They have somebody that they think is spiritual telling them that they're spiritual, and they're doing evil thinking they're spiritual. Everybody okay? Okay, hang in there. Pray for God to open their eyes. And pray for God to show them to stop their evil. But you do not pray for God to destroy them. For you to ask God to destroy them personally, that is one of His children. Now listen to this statement. For you to ask God to destroy them, you become evil in an alliance to destroy somebody. You are asking God to do evil to a person who is His child. They are just as much a child of God as you are in many cases. Everybody doing okay? Okay, listen to me very carefully here. Why don't you pray for God to show them to stop their evil, but not stop the person? Do you know I have enemies that I can't wait to see them get right with the Lord? Oh, just a couple weeks ago, I got a phone call. I had somebody for an extended period of time that had been trying to destroy me. I got a phone message. Brother Bush, would you please forgive me? I've been wrong. Went on and on for about 2 minutes. Left me their phone number. I listened to the message. I immediately returned the phone call. I said, my brother, forgiveness was given before the offense. Don't worry about it. It's done. Gone, gone, gone. I said, I hope when I see you around sometime that when we see each other, I could walk up and hug your neck and prove it to you. I looked at my wife and said, want an enemy back. That was better than watching God destroy them. I'd rather see that person restored and used of God to help somebody than for God to destroy them because they hurt me. Some of you are so selfish. Some preacher to get up and say, oh, bless God, when our teenagers went wrong, we ought to pray for their destruction so that they feel the judgment of God. You're too little of a Christian to be a good Christian. That's not Christianity. My Bible said pray for them. My Bible says love them. My Bible says do good to them. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, God didn't say for you to have somebody else do good to them. He said you personally do good. to them. And I want you to notice, look at Matthew chapter 5 again. But I say, okay, who's talking here? God. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Does that say, will you please do it if you feel like it? Huh. Sounds like a command, doesn't it? Bless them that curse you. Does that sound like a request? Do good to them which despite, or do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Not one time in there did God make it a request. Those are commands. That's no different than thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness. That has the same impact as the Ten Commandments. And God commanded you to do these things. He said to do it for the one that's hurting you. Now, sometimes doing good to someone means you avoid them. Do you know there are some people that are so evil against me, the best thing I can do is avoid them? That's the kindest thing. The kindest thing for me to do is not be around them so that I do not create conflict or the opportunity for conflict. Everybody doing okay? But I'm always defending the one I'm avoiding. I had, recently, I had somebody that attacked someone here, not physically, but attacked. Another leader called me from somewhere and said, what's going on? I said, well, I think it's a residual. I think somebody's actually trying to attack me, and they're doing it through this person. They said, you think this person's that low? I said, I don't know that they know they are, but I think that's what's happening. I began to share why. Now, wait a minute. I've tried to do good things to that person. I defended that person to another leader. I did not accuse. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
It may be a deed done for them, but you not letting them know you did it. Just because somebody hates your stinking internal organs doesn't mean that you have to go around and show up at their house and present them with a gift and say, I love you even though you hate me. Okay, you're just inciting a riot. Not always the wisest thing to do. There are times when I find out somebody that I know and am no longer closely associated with, that they're in the hospital or sick or they've had a heartache, and I cannot express my love to them because of ethics. I'll be honest with you, it kills me. But in an effort to keep things ethical and keep conflict down, I do nothing. Not because I don't feel it, not because I don't want to, but I'm trying to keep the conflict at bay. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
But you don't know how many times I've put money in a card from my wife and I, and tell them that somebody loves them in a blank envelope, blank card, not sign who it's from, and send it off. I don't put it on church stationery. Saying, guess who? No. Just send it. Say, we're thinking about you. We love you. From someone who cares. That's all it says. I can't always ethically do something with my name, but I can still do something. Boy, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
It may be a deed that you must do that you don't get credit for down here. Boy, that's big boy Christianity, isn't it? That's a good question. Is the big deal the fact that you got hurt or that you obey God? Point number three. Let me review. Number one, God made man sinless in the beginning, so if he is saved, he has the ability to love people that hate him. Number two, we said, pray good things for your enemies, your criticizers, and your evil users. Number three, this is where it gets fun. You ready? Everybody smile. Bless you. Good grief. Hair gel all over the floor. All right. if you were in school, I'd have you all stand up and do jumping jacks or something, but some of you I would not do that with because I'd lose you in church. All right. Here we go. Number three. The more you pray for someone, the more you think about their needs, which means the more you love them.
Yes.
Let me say that again. The more you pray for someone, the more you think about their needs, which means the more you love them. Prayer is a way to get you to love someone. There are folks in here, you have been praying for Brother Joe Esposito out in Long Beach, California. For almost 5 weeks now, I guess, he's been in a coma. Had a brain aneurysm, had a stroke. He's had four surgeries. Got stomach tube, got a breathing tube, a trach tube in his throat. They've just moved him out of ICU. Still not awake. And there are some of you in this room, you may have met him. You may not have met him. You may know who he is, you may not know who he is, but you've learned to love him because you've prayed for him. You've learned to love a group of people you don't even know in his church, thinking, boy, what if that was our church? How would we handle this? And boy, what would we be like? And you're thinking about them, which creates a desire to love them in your prayer life, forced you into loving people you did not know. Can I just tell you something? The more you do that for your enemy, the more you'll love them.
Amen.
Do you know it's not as hard to love somebody that hates you as you think it is? Let me show you what I mean. Jesus was at Calvary. Look at the people that violently attacked him. They ripped his beard out. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. They nailed him to a cross. They dropped him down in a hole on that cross to where every joint in his body came out. They beat that crown of thorns down. They coughed up in their throats vileness and spit it in his face. They jerked his beard out. And do you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did he say, God, get him? Don't you think he could have? Oh, no. He was loving those that hated him. He was praying for those that slandered, criticized, and used him. And he was doing good to those who hated him. He was dying for their sins. He was in the act of doing good while they did all that. If Jesus could do it, say, how did he do it? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you something? Why don't you learn to hurt for people that are evil? Not being able to express it. Do you know I hurt for people that I don't know? Some of you old timers, you'll know what I'm talking about here. Remember the O.J. Simpson trial? Now, I was never a big O.J. Simpson fan. And whether you think he was guilty or not, you didn't sit on the jury, you have no idea. So to prefab an opinion, well, I know he was guilty. I could find just as many people to tell you that it said he wasn't, and I know the people that heard all the facts that said he wasn't. Now, whether you think you know or you don't know, it doesn't matter. Can you imagine how bad he hurt, though? Did you ever think about what he needed? Oh, that rich guy finally got what he was supposed to get. Well, wait a minute. How do you know? Learn to hurt for people. I have people that have attacked me, and I've prayed for their families not to be attacked. I've prayed for sometimes, in some of their cases, their children not to go wrong because of what an adult in their life has done. I don't want their kids to end up trashed. I really don't. I have no desire for my enemies to see their children grow up and do wrong. By the way, how Christian is that for you to want their kids to turn out bad? Boy, that sounds like real good Christianity, doesn't it? God, get their kids, get them, do something, make them stop. Boy, that sounds like real good Christianity, doesn't it? You know, learn to look for ways to love and express good to people will teach you how to love God's way. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you start looking for ways to do good to people that are not good to you, you're starting to learn to love like God loves. I have turned it into a game at the store. I was at Sheetz this morning getting my first cup of coffee. And that was not it. That one's been gone for 12 hours plus. But I was there before 6 this morning. And the young lady at the counter, she's seen me before. I walked up. She said, "Next." And I walked over there and she looked up. She saw me. She said, "Yeah, I know you got a Sheetz card." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And I handed it to her. I said, "You don't look happy this morning." She said, "No, bad day." I said, "Bad day? It hadn't even started yet." She said, "Mine did." I said, "Wait a minute." She said, "What?" I said, "Do you want the rest of the day to go bad?" She looked at me. I said, "Okay, it started off bad. Does the whole day have to be this way?" She said, "Why'd you have to say that?" I said, "Because I like seeing the smile instead of the frown." I said, "And I really don't prefer you to stand on your head so I can see it smile." And she just belly laughed. I mean, just blah. I said, "That's better." I handed her my money. I started to walk out. She said, "Hey." I turned around. She said, "Thanks. You saved the day." Did you catch that? She wasn't wanting to have a good day. She's almost mad that she was going to have a better day. Now, wait a minute. Look for ways to encourage people. Look at Matthew 5 again. God says in verse 45, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and descendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Now look at me. Do you know that God sends rain to people that hate his stinking ever-loving guts? The Muslims, the Hindus, the atheists. Do you know that God sends the sunrise for them as much as he does for you? Do you know that he gives them air to breathe like he does you? You know that he gives them rain and food and everything that they have as much as he does you? And if God could do that and they don't even acknowledge that he's there, he said, "It's okay, I'll do it anyway." Wow. The day I realized I was walking in the rain early in the morning praying and I was a little put out with God. Brother Brinkerhoff, I was walking the street and I said, "God, it's not fair. And it's dripping rain and I can't tell the rain from the tears and I was hurt." And I said, "But you're raining on them like you are on me. He rains on the just and the unjust." I said, "God, that means you're going to do good to them. That means I've got to do good. And God, would you stop their evil, but show me how I can love them?" Boy, what a wonderful day that was. What a wonderful day it was to learn how to love somebody that hates you. Now, some don't make it very easy, trust me. But you know, you don't need to have anybody love you back to love them. Love is satisfied in giving, not in receiving. So I don't need the one that hates me to express any kindness back. I don't care if they throw it away. I obey God by doing, they have to receive it. Isn't that what he did with salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Is everybody going to die and go to heaven? No. Say why? Because they have to receive that gift. Guess what? Those that don't receive it, he still gave it to them. Boy, that's good stuff. Love is thinking. To love someone, you must think about them. I thought about my wife this week. I think about her every day. Thought about her more when she wasn't there. My dog really thought about her. He got tired of being outside. He got so tired of me, he killed a possum yesterday and drug it to the back door. I walk out and I see this dead possum laying there. I said, "You dumb dog." And he's over going, I'm thinking, yeah, you're real proud of yourself. I got to get rid of that stupid thing. Nasty old possum laying there. I called my daughter and said, "Yeah, come let him lick you in the face now." Stay away from me, dog. Wait a minute. You love more when you think more about someone. Men, your wife wants you to think about her. Ladies, your husband wants you to think about him. Say, how do I love my wife more? Think about her more. How do I love my husband more? Think about him more. The more good you think for a person, the more good you'll love to do for that person. By the way, that doesn't mean they'll love you back. Listen to this statement. The more bitterness, the more negative, and the more hurtful things you think to someone, the more evil you become. Oh, that person's hurt me. I'm going to find a way to get back at them. Guess what? You have just entered the realm of evil. If I catch so-and-so, I'll really give them a piece of what I'm thinking about. And you've just entered the realm of evil. Oh, I'd like to catch so-and-so in a dark alley. There's times I have felt that way, but I repented. Say why? Because I will not bow to the evil of the person attacking me. I'll step above that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like being treated wrongly. I hate poor business. Oh, my soul. Ask my secretary. I can put up with a lot, but bad business really drives me up a wall. I had to cancel a certain company from doing service for me at one point in time here not long ago. And they called me from their customer service department. I said, "Dude, I'm not the person you should be speaking to right now." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I might tell you what I'm thinking, and that's not good." I said, "There's a lot pent up inside me right now, and you don't want to take that. Trust me, just put on your report, I was not happy, and I will not tell you why, and leave it at that." "But no, we value your opinion." I said, "You don't want my opinion, trust me." I said, "It wasn't your fault, but I'm not going to tell you." Say, why? Because I didn't want to think about it. Because if I thought about it, I'd get madder. I wasn't going to be as nice. I said, "You don't understand something." I said, "Shut up." He said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Don't go any farther, because I might tell you. And you don't want it. Your pen couldn't handle what I'm about to say." "Okay, thank you." I said, "You're welcome." I hung up. You say, you really didn't give your opinion? No. Did you want to? Let's not talk about that. Yes, I wanted to. But I had to yield to the Spirit. The whole time I'm thinking, God, don't let him say it one more time. One more time. He's asking for it. God, please. No, that's not what you do. The more bitterness, the more negative, the more hurtful things you heard about somebody and feel about and think about somebody, guess what? You end up being just like they are. This is not an easy truth. And I wrote this statement down so you didn't think I was lying. This is not a truth you'll want to run out and go do. This is not one of those truths that you say, wow, I can't wait till I get to do that. No, you don't. But it is a truth. After you obey it, you'll never want to go back to what you came from. I promise you that. I can promise you that. Because the moment you learn how to love somebody that hates you, when you learn how to do good to somebody that despitefully uses and persecutes you, when you learn how to think good thoughts about somebody that slanders and criticizes you, is the day you step up and start seeing life from God's point of view. See, but it's not natural. It's not natural to your flesh. But ye have the Holy Spirit in you. That Holy Spirit is willing to love that other child of God that isn't living right. Are you? Are you led by the Spirit? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, I am not the best Christian in the room. I don't have any doubt about that. But I have had the opportunity to love a lot of people that don't love me. I've learned it. I don't do it perfectly. I'm not God. I'm not flawless at it, but I've got a lot of practice at it. And let me tell you, it's a wonderful way to live.